we get to see as we read the text that Jesus is alive. He's doing stuff in the church. And Jesus, as he promised in the Gospels, was building his church. He was adding to their number. Last week we looked at this idea of being devoted, or they were devoted to the fellowship. And so we had some different words. So we looked at this idea of covenant, that this idea that God had established the church. God is the one who brings us together in a local church, and that God is the one who joins us together. And so we have this commitment to each other. So we looked at commitment, how they were devoted to one another with sincere love. We talked about connection, how they were meeting together and worshiping God and praying together and loving each other in their homes. We talked about community, this idea of shared unity, that unity is a very strong and important theme in the Bible, and I would say it's probably the number one fruit of holiness that God wants us to have, is to be a united body. And then we looked at communion, and we celebrated communion, and communion reminds us of our unity to Christ and our unity to one another. And just a quote that we had, and I love this quote, so I'm going to do it again from, it's from this book, Restaurant Ecclesiology, from Chris Brockway, who's a Baptist minister in Christchurch down in Dorset. He says, "Around the family table, we encounter those we love and sometimes struggle to love." And so the church is not about just being this loving community where everyone loves. It's about loving when we don't feel comfortable with other people and learning to love people who are different than us. He says, "A family table is a place where stories are told, worries, memories, confessions, and dreams are revealed. Praying, laughing, rejoicing, and weeping is permissible." And so this is a reminder that in his book he's talking about how people get together often as a consumer. They come into a restaurant to have a bit of food, and then when they don't like the food, they find another restaurant. Whereas the family table, we're more committed in relationship to one another. So we're talking today about devoted to teamwork, and we read that all the believers were together. All the believers were together and shared everything, everything. And so a very strong thing I want to say is that everyone was involved. You get that impression as you read this text, that everyone was involved. We also read that they worshiped together at the temple each day, and, very important, and they met in their homes to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so I would just like to say that I think not only was everyone involved, but everyone was a minister, a lay minister. And if we think that, you know, we are not part of a team, just think about this verse that I'm going to read here. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Think about it. We often think that I'm not something and I'm trying to become something, but the Bible's very clear. You are. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. Each one of us is a priest. We represent God in our world. We're a holy nation. We're a special possession. And think about it when you were at school, you know, in sports teams. You know, I was a bit chubby and I was usually the last to get picked, you know. Like, pick me, please. Am I in the team or not? But it says you are. You're part of the team. You're part of the most important team ever. And we do, when we do this training overseas, we talk about God empowering people for leadership. But it reminds us that everybody is empowered. And so we have a couple of models that we show people. This is the first one is the traditional leadership model. And that's the idea that you have a leader at the top and you have all these followers underneath him. the leaders do all the sort of commanding and controlling, and it's the priesthood of the few. It's the minister's job to do everything. But the New Testament idea is that the leadership there is to equip, to encourage, to empower, to embolden others. It's the priesthood of all, very important. We sang the Reformation hymn. One of the fruits of the Reformation was a recovery of the priesthood of everyone. And then the idea is that the leadership is to build up the body, to do the work. And I have a friend, and he once preached on this passage, and he gave everyone some A4 paper, and he told them to sort of fold it up like this, so it's not very... And then he told them to stick it on their collars, and he said, "I'm ordaining the lot of you now. Now go and do the work of ministry." I want us to sort of just look at a passage. We'll go through it bit by bit, about teamwork in Ephesians 4, 1-16. And the first thing I want to do is to read some introductions from Paul's passages. Oh, you should have interrupted. Children, it's time for your classes. I beg your pardon. You've been too polite. You should be... I'm going to read some introductions. Paul has several passages about spiritual gifts, but it's interesting if you look at the introductions to the passages. So Ephesians, we read this last week. Let me read it again. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So that's last week, be devoted to one another. And then as he begins to talk about spiritual gifts, he says, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all." And then in Romans it says, this is the introduction to spiritual gifts in Romans, "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." And then the introduction in Corinthians. It says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work." So if you pull out this idea, what do they have in common? Ephesians 4, you have Spirit, Lord, Father. That's the Lord Jesus. Romans, you have Christ and God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, you have Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and God. And so what do all these introductions have in common? Ta-da. They have the Trinity in common. And as we've been singing and worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And I think this is probably the strongest point here about teamwork. Spiritual gifts, the idea of being a body that works as a team, flow from and glorify the Trinity. We have this idea that God works as a team, in the Trinity. And as we work as a team, we reflect that. And so teamwork is not about getting the job done. I think we sometimes think, okay, we've just got to get the job done. Who can we ask? Teamwork in the church, working as a team, working as a body, it's about reflecting and glorifying the triune God, the God who is a Trinity. And so teamwork, firstly, glorifies the Trinity. As we move on in the Ephesians passage, the next little section says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe, in order to fill the whole universe. I think we learn from this that we've been saved and gifted for teamwork. And so the imagery here is in ancient times when kings came back from war, they brought captives with them, they brought sort of the spoils of war with them, and they gave out these spoils of war to their people. And so this is the image of Christ. He has defeated the evil one, and now he is giving, in a sense, the gifts, the spoils of war to his people. And so if you sort of think about the passage, what it's sort of saying is that the work of the evil one is to sort of take away teamwork, take away gifting, take away participation. And Christ has defeated the evil one, and he's giving us gifts in order that we might do the king's work, we might do kingdom work in the world. And I have to say very strongly is I think that the evil one is very, very clever, because, you know, we often think he's in Harry Potter and all these things, but he's not. What he is more in the church, he's more in the world, trying to sort of get us divided, to stop us working as a team, to stop us, you know, being united and representing God in the world as his body. And so God wants us to be part of his team, and he's gifted us to be part of his team. As we continue in Ephesians, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip God, to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I don't want to sort of go into the details about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Just for that, just put leadership. Think leadership. Different sort of leadership perspectives that we have. And so think for a moment from these verses, what is the role of leadership? What was Paul saying was the role of leadership? Did anyone pick that up? What was the role of the members of the body? What's our role? How is the body built up? And what is kind of the ultimate objective that this passage points to? So the role of leadership is very clearly to equip and empower God's people to do the work of ministry. So we get together in the church, and leadership is given not to do all the work, but to equip people to do the work. And the role of the members is very much to do the work of the ministry, to do works of service, to minister. And then the role of the body is to build itself up as each member does its part. And the ultimate objective is until we all reach unity in the faith, so it's helping us as we do our part to grow and be united in the faith that we have, to grow in our knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature. So it's to unity, to get to know Jesus better, and to mature as believers. And so teamwork is very important because it helps us, it helps the church mature. So the teamwork helps us to mature, it helps us to have the likeness of Christ, to grow into the likeness of Christ. I think in verse 13 it says, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. I was reading about discipleship growth, and it reminds us that we need a team to really grow as disciples, because it said what in order for us to sort of grow, we need to hear God's word, so we get together and we hear it. We need to discuss it, so we need others to talk about it. We need to go out and practice it. And we need accountability. We need people to say, well, how did it go? You put it into practice. You know, are you learning and growing? And so we need each other if we're going to grow. And Rick and I were part of an international church in Madrid for 20 years nearly. And one of the things that was really amazing is it got together about 36, sometimes up to even 40 different nationalities, and almost as the same number of different sort of church backgrounds as well, from quite traditional to quite Pentecostal. We were all an international church together. But I think what people discovered was that as everybody worked, and we had all these different perspectives, as we had all these different gifts and abilities, as we worked together, it really enriched our understanding of Christ. And many people left saying, boy, I've only been here in Madrid for 3 years, but I have grown so much as a Christian. And people went back to their home countries and really started to become difference makers because they had experienced this diverse body of Christ working together as a team. And I think horses can teach us about teamwork. So how much can horses pull? Well, I was reading this week that one horse can pull approximately 3,500 kilograms. So you would think, well, two horses can pull, like 7,000. But actually, two horses can pull about 14,000 kilograms. And so two is much better than one. Teamwork is much better than a lot of individual people in the church. And we read this at weddings, but it's probably just generally for life, not just for marriage. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So it just reminds us that two are better than one, and a church working as a team is better than two working as a team. Next little bit of Ephesians. Paul writes, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I think teamwork helps us mature in every dimension of life. If it's just the minister speaking here at the front, pretty much all that's going to grow is our brains, or not. But God wants us, and a very important verse here in 15, God wants us to grow in every way, more and more, like Christ. And if you look in the context of verse 14, it talks about spiritual or theological maturity, so that we're not caught out by crafty teaching, by wrong teaching. It definitely talks about emotional maturity, where we learn to speak the truth in love, we learn to receive the truth in love. And it definitely in verse 16 talks about community, relational maturity, where we come to a point where we love one another deeply and the body of Christ is built up. And so we need each other if we're going to sort of grow mature in every dimension of life. This is a little tool that helps us to think about this. This is called the Johari window. And I know people look at it and say, Johari, that sounds like very Eastern. You know, it sounds weird. But actually it was developed by two guys called Joe and Harry. It's a sort of leadership tool. And they call it the Johari window. And people who do coaching use this a lot. So we have an open box that is known to me and known to you. So everyone knows, for example, my name is Richard and my wife is Ricky and I've got four kids. This is what is known to me and known to others. Then I have hidden things. These are known to me but unknown to you. And so those are things in my life, perhaps in my history, that I'm maybe ashamed about or I haven't shared about, but they're unknown to you but known to me. And then we have things that are unknown to you and unknown to me. So I don't know the day I'm going to die. That's unknown to all of us. And then we have blind spots. Those are things that are known to you but unknown to me. And I think this is where speaking the truth in love comes in, that what Paul is saying is we have all of these dimensions in our life and we need people who will speak the truth in love to us, speaking to perhaps our blind spots. But we also need to be people who mature and grow. And so when someone says, you know, I see this blind spot in your life, we're not defensive and get in a huff and, you know, leave and find another church. We say, oh, well, thank you very much. Let me think about it. I don't have to agree with you, but I can think about it. And we learn to grow through that. I think the hidden parts of our life, I think when you have a loving community, when you understand God's grace and it's safe, these things will come up and people begin to share. The Bible might call it confession, or we just disclose hidden areas of our life that we've never talked about. So, and they don't necessarily need to be sins. For example, my grandfather and grandmother, just, I think it was between my dad and my auntie, they lost a child. But he refused to speak about it. He didn't speak about it ever again. But that would be something that would be hidden in his life because he would never talk about it. Or there could be, you know, something we'd like to confess to the church and find healing about. And then we have the unknown things. And I think we also need God and the Holy Spirit, but we need each other to push into the unknown, because there is a proverb which says a man of wisdom draws out things from deep waters. And I love that idea of there's a lot in our life that we don't even know and we need people to draw it out. And I often find in my life I don't know things and I pray to God and teach me stuff, and then he sends me a book my way or send me someone to talk to, and I'll be like, I was just thinking about that. Whoa. And it sort of brings out these things. And so that's just a little tool to think about it. But we have blind spots, and speaking the truth in love is something really, really critical. But receiving the truth is also a very critical part of that. And so having these little tools to formalize it a tiny bit helps us to do it, rather than the British way, sort of to say, because I grew up British, parents are British, is not to talk about it and then to show it in different ways, and that's like a passive-aggressive behavior. Or it gets to a point where we boil over and we tell it wrongly to people and it doesn't come across in love anymore, it comes across in anger. So just something to think about. We need each other if we're to grow into every dimension of life. We need a team. To put it this way, remember that famous line, every child needs a village, every church, it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a church to raise a believer. It does, it takes each of us playing our part to grow. And so, these were the main points. Teamwork, the fact that we work as a team, glorifies God, it glorifies the Trinity when the body works together. We've been saved to have a relationship with Christ, but we as we follow the New Testament, it's very clear we've been gifted so we can be part of a body, so we've been saved to be part of a body that works together to glorify God. Teamwork helps us to mature. It helps us to grow as a disciple. But teamwork is also important because we need each other to sort of give us that input so that we can mature in every dimension. We can mature emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in all these different dimensions. And in closing, think of it as a puzzle. Each of us is a puzzle piece. And as we play our part in the team, and we join together, we become more and more the local body of Christ. We become more and more visible to the world. This is Jesus. And so if you're not part of a team, then the church is missing out. It's missing a piece. You're also missing out because you make much more sense when you're part of a larger body of Christ. I think the world is missing out. Because if we're not part of a team, then the world is not getting to see what Jesus' body should look like. Also, each of us in the world is unique. Every single human being is a unique creation of God. And I believe that we have the local church, but in eternity, all of us together, all these different cultures, all these different gifts and abilities and experiences, together we will represent the fuller image of God and humanity. And so we have to think about mission. There's pieces missing in this church, and they're out there, and we need to be letting them know about our church and inviting them and praying that they'll come and join our church. But the other thing is, as we get together, and this is where we began, as we get together, as we bring our gifts, abilities, experiences, learnings, cultures, we make Christ more and more visible. And by making Christ more visible, I think that's another way of saying we glorify Christ. We glorify the triune God. And so teamwork, ultimately, is about glorifying God. About glorifying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that have forever existed in the Trinity that has worked as a team. And that as we work as a team, we represent and reflect the God that we love and serve. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. There is so much that we can learn about your body, about the church from your word. And so help us, Lord, as we think about your church, help us to be people who realize that as we're part of a team, we glorify you. We reflect the triune God. Lord, help us to realize that we've not just been saved, and that's it. We've been saved, called to be part of a church body and play our part in the church body. We've been uniquely gifted to play a part in the local church body. Help us to remind ourselves that we do need each other, working as a team to mature. And as a sub-point, we need each other to give us input, Lord, about challenging areas of our life in order that we might mature in every aspect, grow into the likeness of Christ in every aspect of our lives. And so help us to grasp just a little bit, Lord, about the importance of teamwork. And help us as a church to be the functioning body of Christ here in Datchet, so that when other people talk about Datchet, they'll say, well, those people live and love like Jesus. And so bless us, we pray, and lead us forward into the things that you have for us as a church. May our lives more and more reflect you and your word, we pray.